It's Ian Pickus. We're back in the Congressional Corner today with New York Congressman Mark Molinaro, a Republican from the 19th District, in office since 2023, on record on this show as being against lightning rounds. But he's a runner, so we're going to do some 50-meter sprints today, if that's okay.
Well, I'm not good at that, but I'll do my best.
He's more of a distance guy, which is why he's running for re-election, I think.
Well, it may not be, but it is.
So to get serious for a second, do you plan to attend the address by Benjamin Netanyahu before Congress?
Yes, I do.
And how come? Some people say they'll skip it. They don't like the way he's pursuing the war.
Yeah, I understand. I think that's I think it's a shame. Israel is America's greatest ally. And I say greatest ally, not just a democratic, not just in the Middle East. It is our greatest ally. And of course, for me and for so many of us, there are Israeli American citizens, dual citizens. There are Jewish citizens of great number in districts like ours. I would say that whether it's the president of the United States or the prime minister of another country, one, it's appropriate that we listen and we can have opinions. Let's face it. We can leave this room or leave that room and offer our opinions that might differ. But I also think that we're not in the room making war decisions. And it's very easy to suggest that one should execute or exercise a war in the way that they wish. But we're not in those rooms making those decisions. And what I would also offer to you, it is critically important, in particular in the Middle East, that Israel remains strong, remains safe, or is safe and secure in itself. That is critically important, not only from a Jewish American perspective, but for America's international and foreign policy perspective.
Do you have any optimism that a ceasefire, a truce, an end to the fighting, some sort of settlement is anywhere close to being at hand?
Well, I think that really is the question that Hamas needs to answer. And I know I get it. Believe me, I listen to the people who both support and oppose Israel's exercise of war. But remember, on October 7th, just as on September 10th, some years ago, Israel was at peace. There was a ceasefire. And then a terrorist organization that has infiltrated a national identity, right? They've infiltrated the Palestinian state and frankly are using innocent citizens in many ways as shields. And they care less about their own citizens than some of the people who protest on their behalf do. And in this case, there was an act of war. Israel's response to that is to obliterate Hamas from the map. And Hamas's response should be to hand over the hostages. There are American hostages. There are Israeli hostages. Ceasefire comes when the side that initiated war and kidnapped hostages hands over those hostages. And that, I think, can be achieved. I will say early on, to their credit, the administration with the Department of State, I think was close to something that felt like there was a path to Hamas turning over hostages. But we just continue to see this escalation from Hamas. And frankly, it is Israel's right to demand a turnover of those hostages in exchange for ceasefire.
Moving to a different area now, I want to talk to you about congestion pricing. Do you agree, first of all, with Governor Hochul's decision to pause it?
I don't agree with congestion pricing as a model, right? So I just have to be clear about
how come?
Well, I think that it penalizes the wrong people. I think that there are those who can't, certainly commuters coming into the city, but those don't have to be terribly far commuters. But let's face it, city employment exists in part because of in-migration. These are individuals who can't afford mass transportation, don't even have access in some cases to mass transportation. And in some cases, they're even driving vehicles that are that much more expensive because of lack of higher miles per gallon. These are real challenges that folks face as they're coming into the city, whether it's for work or otherwise. And I think it's just unfair. It's unfair to put that burden on middle income, hardworking individuals who are just trying to do their job. And I also think that, and I say this sincerely, the MTA is the most bloated public authority in the world, has no right to suggest they need an eighth tax. I mean, if congestion pricing was it, and there weren't those other seven taxes that support the MTA, maybe you could have a conversation. But every time the MTA and the state taxes people to give more revenue to the MTA, it's never enough. That is the fault of administrations. It was the fault of the previous governor, and it is the fault of this governor. They only want to take responsibility for the ribbon cutting, not for the challenge of actually getting the trains and the buses to run on time. And so what the governor did was abdicate responsibility. Congestion pricing comes in place, and then when she realized, I don't know how she couldn't, that in the midst of a congressional or at least a presidential election year, this was going to be highly unpopular, she undid it. And so to answer your question why I did that, but what the governor did was irresponsible. You just can't wake up and send shockwaves into the system without an alternative. I understand it feels good. It's like, oh, she must feel great that there are people who hate congestion pricing who now thank her that she didn't do it. I get the political momentary bliss of that, but she undermined the entire financial infrastructure with no alternative. And then her alternative was, let's come up with another tax or force the rest of New York to pay for it. She's wasted federal money, she's wasted state money, and she now has put the MTA in the position of not being able to comply with ADA because of no plan. It's just not it's not how an executive works. I feel like we're dealing with a town councilman who just, you know, got to the board meeting that night and said, you know what, the last person I heard said I should change my mind, so I did.
I have to ask, do you think about maybe running against her next time?
No, I don't.
Once was enough?
Well, it's not even that. I really feel like we're doing very good work. I feel like the communities of upstate New York deserve a voice in Congress. And I do feel like, again, from kid mayor to state assemblyman to county executive to member of Congress, I'm using the relationships, the experiences, and the life experience of living and working in upstate New York to the greatest benefit here in Congress. My family and I enjoy the work we do. It's a challenge, and I love this concept of molding consensus in a community that often gets overlooked and ignored. I'm doing the work that I think is necessary, and I'm hopeful to keep doing it.
And I just want to close the loop on congestion pricing for a second. The state controller, Tom DiNapoli, says the MTA doesn't really have any good options now. And Governor Hochul had put out her own statement after the MTA confirmed that congestion pricing is off the table and basically said, we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. So that's where that has left off on the state level for right now.
Yeah, well, wishes and hopes aren't a way to run a government, just so you know.
Let me ask you this. The presidential race is here. We're actually speaking just ahead of the first debate between President Biden and Trump. Would you allow me to make an observation to you?
It's your show. You can do what you want. Would you allow me not to react?
Well, that's up to you. But for people listening to you over the last few days, you know, you have this lifelong public service record and you are proud of your bipartisan achievements and your ability to buck your party when you need to and so on. And I think it's fair to say that, you know, you see yourself as a moderate in your party today. So here's the question. Temperamentally, I think you are much closer to President Biden than you are to President Trump.
I don't think we vote necessarily or our lives are determined by whose temperament we're more like. I will offer to you that, you know, when we have Thanksgiving dinner, there's some people who yell and there's some people who say it quietly. What I don't like, quite frankly, are the policies that we've seen these last 4 years. I think there's a disrespect, if not an ignorance, toward the impact of spending money that isn't ours, taxpayers' money, without real concern for how that would inflate the cost of living. And I will tell you that what I saw and consistently see at the border is a surrender. These last 4 years have been a surrender to drug cartels, and that needs to be reversed. And so I just would offer out loud that I strongly encourage anyone listening and all the people I represent to come to the decision they think is best, but I don't think 4 more years of this administration is in the best interest of the people I serve.
New York Congressman Mark Molinaro is a Republican from the 19th District in office since 2023, and we are very grateful that he's a regular guest on the Congressional Corner. Thanks, as always, for spending all of this time with us.
It is a pleasure, and be well, and depending on when folks hear this, I suppose, I hope you have had or will have a tremendous Independence Day celebration.